Title: Distorted Bass Stability from Scratch Without Third-Party Plugins Beginner. Alright, let's build a distorted drum and bass bassline that actually stays solid when you crank the distortion. Because if you've tried this before, you already know the pain. You add saturation, and suddenly one note is huge, the next note disappears, and the whole thing feels like it's wobbling in volume even though your MIDI is perfectly consistent. Today we're fixing that from the ground up in Ableton Live using only stock devices. No third-party plugins, no magic presets, just a clean system you can reuse on any bass. Here's the core idea you're going to keep hearing throughout this lesson. Stable distorted bass comes from layering and control. Clean mono sub for weight, distorted mids for character, and then just enough dynamics control to keep the distortion from behaving like a randomizer. Let's set up the session first. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. That gets you into the standard modern DNB zone. For your bass notes, we'll live around F1 to A1. That range tends to translate well on most systems without turning into subwoofer-only information. Now create one MIDI track and name it Bass. On that track, we're going to build an instrument rack that contains two layers, sub and mid. So drop an instrument rack on the track, then open the chain list, and create two chains. Name the first one SUB, and the second one MID. We're going to build stability first, and that means, sub first. SUB layer. Keep it boring on purpose. On the SUB chain, an operator. Operator is super stable for subs, and stability is the whole game today. In operator, set the algorithm to A only. Oscillator A should be a sine wave. Keep the level at 0 dB. Now set your amp envelope so it behaves cleanly. Attack should be basically instant, like 0 to 5 milliseconds. Release. Set it around 60 to 120 milliseconds. That's long enough to avoid clicks, but not so long that it smears into the next note in a rolling pattern. Quick teacher note here. A lot of instability isn't even distortion yet. It's tiny clicks, overlapping releases, and inconsistent note lengths making the low end feel messy. So getting this envelope clean is already a win. After operator, add EQ8. Put a high pass filter at 25 Hz. Use 12 or 24 dB per octave, your choice. This is just rumble control. You can optionally dip a tiny bit around 200 to 300 Hz if things start to sound muddy later, but don't preemptively carve it up. The sub's job is simple, fundamental and stability. Then add utility. Set width to 0%, full mono. This is non-negotiable for the sub in this workflow. You can leave gain conservative. In fact, I want you leaving headroom throughout, because distortion chains love to trick you into thinking louder equals better. And here's the big why: distortion and stereo width destroy low-end consistency. So we keep the sub clean and mono, and we do not try to make the sub exciting. The excitement comes from a mids, MID layer. All the digression, but controlled. Now go to the MID chain. Add Waveedable. You could use Operator too, but Waveedable gets you rich harmonics quickly, which is great for distorted DNB mids. In Waveedable, OSC 1, choose basic shapes and move the shape toward a sawish tone. Not full saw if you don't want it too buzzy, but definitely not sine. Turn on Unison. Two voices. Keep the amount subtle, around 10 to 20%. If you go too hard here, your bass will feel wide but inconsistent, and it can collapse badly in mono. Remember, clubs and big systems tend to be effectively mono in the low and low mid energy. So subtle is the move. Set Waveedable's filter to something musical like MS2 or OSR, and low pass somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz. That's just to keep the top end fizz from getting out of hand once we distort. Set the amp envelope similarly to the sub, fast attack, and a release around 60 to 150 milliseconds. Now, before any distortion, we do the most important stability step in this entire lesson. Add EQ8 right after Waveedable, before distortion. High pass the MID at about 100 to 150 Hz and use a steeper slope, like 24 dB per octave. Pause and lock this in mentally. We are not distorting sub frequencies. This is the number one reason distorted bass becomes unstable. If the distortion stage is reacting to low frequency energy, it will pump and change behavior note to note, because low frequencies carry a ton of power and trigger nonlinear processing differently depending on pitch and phase. High pass before distortion makes the distortion predictable. Now add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Start with drive around 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. You can enable color if you want a bit more edge. Important: match the output so you're not fooled by volume. If you drive it up and don't compensate, you'll always think it sounds better, but you're just getting louder. If you want extra bite, click into the curve display and slightly bend the curve. Small moves, we're going for heady, not shredded. After saturator, add dynamic tube. Pick type A or B. Set drive around 10 to 25%. Adjust bias slightly, like minus 5 to plus 5, just to find a sweet spot where it grows some attitude without getting harsh. Again, compensate output so you're comparing tone, not loudness. Now we control dynamics, because distortion tends to exaggerate differences. This is where some notes scream and others vanish gets solved. Add compressor. Set ratio to 4 to 1. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. Set the threshold, so you get about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction on the louder notes. That's enough to clamp the chaos without turning it into a flat rectangle. Teacher tip, if you hear the bass losing punch, your attack is probably too fast. If you hear it pumping weirdly, adjust the release. In DNB, releases around that 60 to 120 window usually breathe with the groove. Next, add another EQ8, post-distortion, to shape the tone. Typical areas, if it's harsh, look around 2.5 to 5 kHz and do a small dip. If it's boxy or honky, gently cut 300 to 600 hz. If there's too much fizz, low pass somewhere between 10 and 14 kHz. Then add utility. Keep the MID mostly centered, with around 0 to 30%. If you widen it too much, you'll get that sounds huge in stereo, disappears in mono issue. And we care about stability, not just headphone hype. Glue the layers, your stability bus. Now we've got SUB clean and MID nasty, but controlled. Time to glue them together so they behave like one bass. On the bass track, after the instrument rack, at EQ8, this is a safety and focus EQ. If needed, a small dip around 120 to 200 hz can help if the kick region is crowded, but don't start boosting the sub heavily here. If you boost, you'll invite headroom issues and weird limiter behavior later. Then add glue compressor. Set attack to 3 milliseconds, release to auto ratio 2 to 1. Lower the threshold until you see about 1 to 3 dB of reduction on bass hits. Turn on soft clip for subtle control. Then add a limiter, but treat it like a seatbelt, not an engine. Set the ceiling to minus 0.8 dB. Ideally, it's only catching occasional peaks, like 1 to 2 dB at most. Now you've basically built the stable distorted bass system. Distortion is kept out of the sub. Mids are controlled before and after dirt, and the whole thing is lightly glued. Write a rolling DNB pattern that feels consistent. Let's make it roll. Create a 2-bar MIDI clip. Use mostly 8th notes, and sprinkle a couple of 16th note pickups. Think of the pickups as little forward-leaning nudges, not main hits. One pattern idea. In bar 1, hit on beat 1, the end of 1, the end of 2, beat 3, then a quick 16th pickup around 3A, and then the end of 4. In bar 2, keep the vibe but change one thing. Remove one hit and add a pickup somewhere else. DNB bass lines feel alive when they repeat with tiny changes. Now here's a beginner trap that matters a lot for distortion stability, velocity and note length. If every note is full velocity and identical length, the distortion and compression can exaggerate tiny differences and make your groove feel inconsistent. So do this. Keep velocities mostly consistent, but make your 16th note pickup slightly lower velocity, so they don't crack louder than the main hits. And if the bass feels smeary, shorten some notes so the release doesn't overlap into the next hit. Rolling bass works because it's tight. Also, micro timing is real. If some bass hits land exactly on the kick transient, sometimes the bass will feel like it's changing level, but it's actually masking and transient conflict. Try nudging a couple bass notes 1 to 5 milliseconds later, or use groove pool with a subtle groove at 10 to 20%. Keep it tight. Don't overswing modern rollers. Macros. Automate energy without breaking your low end. Now let's set you up for arrangement moves that don't destroy stability. Open the instrument rack macros and map a few controls. Macro 1. MID drive. Map it to saturator drive, and also compensate by mapping saturator output in the opposite direction if you can. The goal is tone changes without big loudness jumps. Macro 2. Mid tone. Map wavy-able filter cutoff with a small range. Small range is key. Huge sweeps can change perceived loudness. Macro 3. Mid-HP. Map the MID pre-distortion high-pass frequency, like 100 to 200 hz. This is a great cleanup for Phil's macro. Macro 4. Glue. Map the glue compressor threshold a little bit. Just a small range, so you can tighten the bus for a drop. Arrangement idea. Intro can be mostly sub plus a light mid. At the drop, increase mid-drive a bit and maybe slightly more compression. For a mid-drop variation, darken the tone with the MID Tone macro and add a couple of 16th fills. The secret is, automate tone and density, not the sub. The sub stays consistent so the track stays heavy. Stability checks inside Ableton. Now let's do quick checks, because this is how you catch problems early. First, mute the MID chain. Does the sub still feel strong and steady? If not, fix the sub chain, not the mid. Then mute the sub chain. Does the mid sound cool without being boomy? If it feels like it still has too much low end, raise that pre-distortion high pass a bit or tighten your post-EQ. Add spectrum on the bass track. You want a clear fundamental depending on your note, often somewhere around 45 to 70 Hz for this range. And you don't want crazy energy spread below 100 Hz in stereo. Do a mono check early. Put a utility at the very end of the bass track, and map a button to width at 0%. Flip it on and off. If the mid collapses too much, reduce unison or width back in the MID synth or MID utility before you start doing desperate EQ surgery. Extra coach move. Input consistency check. Here's a really useful pro habit. Temporarily turn off saturator and dynamic tube in the MID chain. Play F1, G1, A1. Watch your channel meter. If one note is noticeably louder before distortion, that's a red flag. Distortion will exaggerate that difference. Fix it with MIDI first. Adjust the velocity of the offending note, or use the clip gain envelope to pull it down slightly, like the equivalent of 1 to 3 dB. It's boring, but it's professional and it works. Common problems and instant fixes. If your bass gets fuzzy and unstable, you're probably distorting the low end. Make sure the MID is high passed before distortion and the sub is clean. If your bass disappears in mono, too much unison or whitening, keep MID width low and sub mono. If notes jump out randomly, you need dynamic control after distortion. Aim for that 3 to 6 dB compression on the mid. If you keep adding drive but it's still not working, compensate output, then shape with EQ and compression. Loudness is not stability. If you get clicks or mud, adjust release, usually somewhere around 60 to 150 milliseconds, and shorten note lengths if they overlap. Quick mini practice to lock it in. Set a timer for 15 to 20 minutes. Build the rack exactly like we did. This audio version is shortened for playback.